Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Tech Can't Save Us podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Paul David.
And I'm Rebecca Hedman. And this week, Paul and myself will be taking a look at one of the weird and wonderful subgenres of tech, smelly tech. Now, in the first part of the pod, we'll be doing something a little bit different. But of course, we'll be providing some insight from scent-based technology throughout the episode today.
As you can probably see, for those folks who are watching any video content of ours, I'm calling in from a hotel room in Amsterdam. You can actually see my pillow right behind me there. We've got a split crew this week. Will and Savina are missing this awesome episode. If you're not, they will be back next week. And yeah, just urge you to share any wonderful feedback you have via our survey in the episode description. And if you're listening in via Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please do go ahead and give us a rating, hopefully a good one. As always, we appreciate your support, and this helps us just continue to reach the right crowd. We're excited to get more awesome guests on the pod. We've got big plans for the new year, but first of all, we're going to finish off the last bit of 2023 strong.
So let's go in with topic one. Now, the power of smell is one of those things you can't really shy away from. So this concept of digital scent technology is something that I want us to consider, and whether it's really growing at the moment, because the global digital scent technology market is kind of posed for remarkable growth, with an expected compound annual growth rate of approximately 9%. And that's going from 2021 to 2027. There's been a rise in smart devices and advancements that are propelling this global digital scent revolution. So I think in this next section, let's just take a little look at whether or not this is kind of enabling us to experience the creation of tangible tech, or if this is all just a stinky fad.
I think the idea of digital scent technology, smell tech, smelly tech, whatever we're calling it, is really fascinating. So, you know, we've got obviously VR technology, but this whole idea of like mixed reality technology is really on the rise. And smell-based technology is a part of that. It's going to be increasing in demand to provide even more immersive experiences. One of the more fascinating things about smell tech is that, you know, it actually changes how we feel when we smell something. And I think, you know, there's that direct connection between what we smell, and obviously you smell something stinky, you kind of make stank face, you know, whatever. Or if you're, you know, out listening to some really good music, you also make a stank face, which I think is really interesting. You're just like, oh, that's so good. So what's that all about? But I think as we're seeing the increased use of like IoT, Internet of Things, and personalized home assistance, which we've discussed before, it means that releasing certain smells at the right time can sometimes be automated and even customized to your outlook, your nature. So for example, maybe you could ask Siri to make the room smell nice, and it will exactly know what nice is. There's also this concept of safety smells. As we see an increase in the use of robots in dangerous, you know, or domestic spaces, being able to detect certain smells can prove useful. For example, having a carbon monoxide detector or a gas detector or an underwater drone, you know, for example, I think is a really good examples of smell tech that could be used to help people. And then lastly, one really interesting anecdote from our research for this episode, we looked at some experiments that were connecting VR tech with smell tech to enhance a person's response to a specific situation. So there's one experiment where a researcher had participants wear VR headsets that depicted calming nature scenes and a smart necklace that they developed to release a lavender scent. And lavender, as we all know, tends to be like a calming fragrance. So when the bursts of lavender were added, the participants reported feeling 26% more relaxed than they had without the scent. And so having a device that monitors brain activity, which they did in this example, showed that, you know, the participants had a physiological response that increased by 25% when the scent was added. So I thought that was really interesting.
I think, Paul, that is very interesting. And even when you just mentioned there about this experiment with the respondents who had the lavender released, for myself, I find lavender to be one of those scents that is sickly almost. I mean, I love maybe certain things that are lavender infused, I can tolerate, but that lavender scent overall kind of gives me a mild headache. So for someone like myself, the thought of perhaps having a synthetic lavender scent projected into a room or into a space I'm in kind of slightly terrifies me. So as much as I think, you know, smell tech is really interesting and cool and can maybe provide these experiences where people can become more relaxed, there are some unknown dangers in a way, if you will, with these kind of synthetic smells, because besides like a common reaction, for example, I just mentioned about getting a little bit of a headache sometimes with lavender, I think about 35% of people we've got here report migraines or even respiratory problems because of fragrance. So I don't know if there are some health implications possibly that could come about from having this kind of like synthetic smells released into the public. Obviously, it's one of those things, smell is very individual. We all have kind of the things that we enjoy smelling, don't enjoy smelling, things that are nostalgic, things that obviously bring you back to a dark time. You know, you sometimes smell something, you think, oh God, I remember when I used to have to eat that in school. But I think with smell tech, the possibility, the idea is great. The technology there is interesting, amazing. And of course, you know, it has the potential to be wonderful, but I don't know if it's really going to be able to cater to such a wide range of taste, essentially. And again, you mentioned about VR headsets, and we've spoken on the pod before about VR and the fact that it's not really an accessible piece of technology yet. We've seen different companies, you know, namely Apple, experimenting with like accessible headsets. I mean, how accessible, that again is an argument to be had with the price point. But I think for now, like, smell tech is not going to be something that the wider mass can use.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think just to like add more of what I appreciate you bringing up the contrary side and saying it's definitely an unexplored area, right? Like if we think about VR and AR and mixed reality, I think we've definitely gone down the route of exploring visual. I think we're going more down the route of audio, for example. But, you know, I'd say like smell is one that we've even kinesthetic to some extent, like where, you know, you can have the Wii and like hit the tennis ball and feel the thing vibrate and stuff like that. But you're not smelling the grass of the tennis court or that new ball smell, you know, from a tennis ball. So I think that is really interesting. But yeah, I think there's like loads of positive applications for it. You know, we've talked about like smell enhanced VR therapies that could be explored for things like clinical uses, like to treat anxiety, sleep disorders, even Alzheimer's, because smell is so deeply linked to memory. So it could be, you know, an older person with Alzheimer's who, you know, wants to remember a loved one who wore a certain perfume or something like that. Could that be released by like a digital health assistant to, you know, calm them or help them recall memories that maybe they lost, for example? I think that's really interesting. You look at VR exposure therapy, which has been used to treat folks with PTSD, such as military veterans. So like immersing them in a virtual environment that triggers a traumatic memory and sort of desensitizing them to the memory over time so they can learn that their thoughts are safe. That's really interesting. So I think, yeah, there's loads of potential applications for it. But to your point, we need to like understand some scents are distressing to people, as lavender is for you. Whereas, you know, they could that be followed by or layered with a relaxing scent that you like? Maybe if you like pine or eucalyptus or cinnamon, could be a gradual way to reduce or even eliminate smell triggers like the one you mentioned, for example.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I like that you brought up the potential that it has there to actually affect the care industry, because I think that's often a neglected industry, and much of the tech for good we look at, I mean, obviously doing some great things in amazing spaces, but I think that would definitely be a really interesting area to look at. And even if you think about maybe like negative environments, we do a lot of work with nonprofits who look at areas or spaces that look after those who are less able. And I think if you could incorporate that smell tech into those spaces, you could improve the quality of life for those who are subjected to those negative spaces. So it has like a positive input. I mean, for me, I think there are just so many different questions around it, so many different arguments that come up when we think about the development of smell technology. And I don't think we know enough about it yet. All of the things that we're talking about are hypothetical. We are seeing some come into play. There have been a few different startups that have launched, and we'll talk about some more later on in today's episode. But yeah, at present, I just don't know if it's a material thing just as yet.
Yeah, I think the technology is definitely nascent. And as we said, it's like it's nascent because I think it's been underexplored. And we've prioritized other mediums like sound, like vision, things like that in terms of our move into virtual reality, augmented reality. But again, I think, yeah, there's so many different applications, and I think it's really promising. I think another one is like folks with addictions, for example, and helping folks, you know, learn to manage or resist cravings by triggering certain cues. There's already some research that suggests that. And like, for example, transporting someone to a place like a bar or a party and the scent of wine or cigarettes, you know, could add to the realism that is needed to elicit that craving, I think is really interesting. Things like surgery prep, you know, like you could reduce the need for, you know, certain powerful anesthetics, even childbirth as well, reducing, which you can speak to. I can't speak to that, but obviously like they talked about in the research, potentially using or reducing the need for an epidural. If you can have calming smells that allow the mother to calm and maybe give birth, that's not going to take place of the drugs that are sometimes needed. But I think that's just really interesting to, you know, look at ways it could be used. Stuff like irritable bowel syndrome, chronic lower back pain, certain scents can help patients relieve stress. I know Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles is kind of looking at that. And yeah, I think it's really interesting to see the different applications. But yeah, certainly it's very nascent. It's very prospective. And even as you've, you know, stated the stats about the projected growth of the industry, it's still pretty modest. It'd be cool to, you know, eventually one day get a founder on here who's like working on some technology that's like real time, real life application and see what they have to say about it.
Yeah, I would definitely be interested to hear from the horse's mouth on that one, because I'm reading here on NBC News, there is a professor in the City University of London. And essentially what he has actually said is that this is a decades long experiment, which is going on at the moment before like there are the devices that are ready to be used on a consumer level. So I think we are kind of a long way away from seeing any kind of like tangible smell tech accessible to the public yet. He says here 15 years. So that's a fair amount of time. A lot can happen in between then. And I think looking at it beyond an entertainment and a personal communication perspective, it could be feasible. But again, we're just going to have to wait and see. We should try and get a smell tech founder on the show though, definitely. I think that would be very, very interesting.
I think too, just give our audience a bit more context too, we need to talk about like some of the history. So I know at least in the States, there was an effort to create good old Smell-O-Vision. I don't know if you came across this in your research, Rebecca, but it's interesting because it made its one and only appearance in a 1960 film called Scent of Mystery. And so basically they injected about 30 odors into a movie theater seats that were triggered by the film's soundtrack. And I think that's really interesting that, you know, they gave it a try and it didn't really work, but that was really, you know, one of the first, you know, scent tech, I won't call it digital, scent tech experiments. And I don't know all the history, all the background, but there was a competitor called Aromarama, for example, that had a similar approach. So, you know, I think there's some interesting reasons why the reception of it hasn't been good. It definitely didn't work as intended in the Smell-O-Vision example. Some of the aromas, for example, were released with like a distracting hissing noise, and certain audience members complained that the scents reached them like several seconds after they were meant to. In other parts of the theater, for example, the odors were too faint. And so then audience members were sniffing loudly to attempt to like catch the scent, for example. So they tried to like fix some of these technical problems in some of the first few showings, but there was, you know, really bad word of mouth and just generally negative reviews, which killed Smell-O-Vision. So hopefully the founders that we can have on board learn from this, you know, sort of ancient example, ancient by our modern standards, of attempting scent tech with the example of Smell-O-Vision there.
I would be interested to understand the difference between scent technology and a glorified air freshener or candle, because we're talking about some really high-tech stuff. I mean, when you talk about Aromarama, that is pretty basic. But then on the other hand, some of the more recent technology that's being developed is seriously complex and interesting and involves a lot of different moving parts. But yeah, I would be interested to hear from a founder exactly what makes it scent tech as opposed to just a candle or an air freshener.
Well, yeah, I think we can maybe hopefully make a promise to our listeners here that we're going to ping some of the founders with this episode and then hopefully get them on a future episode to continue to pull the thread around scent tech. So yeah, hopefully we can shout a few of them out in the next segment here and then get them on the pod at some point.
Let's move on to, so I've got a little something that I want to try on today's show, Paul, as it is just the two of us. I think this will be interesting and perhaps you can figure out which one will be maybe a potential guest for our next show, perhaps one of the ones we're about to read out.
And just so the listeners know, I don't know the answers here. Actually, Rebecca's done a great job of redacting the actual words, I think, on here. So like I'm looking at a redacted version of the podcast outline. So well done, Rebecca.
So let's go ahead. We're going to read out some press clippings, some mission statements, depending on which one, from a few companies. Now, Paul, I want you to tell me which one you think is fact or fiction. If you're listening in as well, obviously this is coming to you after the time, but do try and play the game as well. Have a little think about what we're going to read out and what you think might be fact or fiction. Also, sidebar, I need to shout out Savina, because Savina did good with this little game. It was a brilliant idea. We'll give it a whirl. So, Paul, you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay, number one, Osmo. Osmo gives computers a sense of smell that improves health and well-being of human life. Osmo brings together frontier AI and olfactory science to solve this historic challenge. While we're starting with the incredibly complex art of fragrance, our ultimate goal is to improve the health and well-being of human life through smell. Fact or fiction?
I'm going to have to go with fact for that one, because Osmo just kind of sounds like a tech name, like a techie name, like osmosis. But I feel like tech companies, they just take like existing words and like combine them or chop them up in like funny, interesting ways. So yeah, I'm going to go with yes for this one.
Fact. Yes, you are right. The Cambridge, Massachusetts based startup, which pitches its technology as a combination of AI and olfactory science. They actually raised $60 million earlier this year in a Series A backed by Google Ventures and Lux Capital. So congrats to them. They are really out in the world of scent-based tech.
Let's get Osmo on the show. They're a good one. Wow.
You were pretty bang on with your explanation as well. So kudos to you. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Conoco. Now, Conoco builds cyborgs. We put out a small form factor smell cyborg in 10 million homes, and that was inside this decade. We aim to securely and safely diagnose disease and maintain health and wellness in real time. We are building a marketplace that makes every individual the CEO of their own health. This is interesting. Smell tech as a form of maybe health tech as well?
I just don't believe that they're using the term cyborg as liberally as as this definition says. And I don't think that disease diagnosis according to smell, though, although I've heard some things about dogs being able to smell COVID, which I found really interesting, is as far along as this is suggesting. So I'm going to go with fiction.
It is actually fact. They are a synthetic biotechnology company and leveraging synthetic biology merged with silicone to build devices. And they are really using the word cyborg, the term cyborg. So shout out to them. It says that our smell cyborgs are capable of autonomously and intelligently reading the air. We engineer proteins in biological neurons to create precise protein particle interactions. And the biological cells function as sensors, amplifiers, and biological signal processors.
Yeah, whenever I hear cyborg, I just think like, I think there's like an old Jean-Claude Van Damme movie called Cyborg that like, it is just like depicts this incredibly dystopian future. So I just, yeah, I don't know.
Let's move on. What have we got going on here? Edua Space. If you've ever wondered what space smells are like, a new perfume may answer that for you. A Kickstarter crowdfunding campaign was recently launched for a new fragrance called Erda Space to bring the smell of outer space back down to Earth. The fragrance was developed by Steve Pierce, according to Erda Space product manager Matt Richmond. Pierce is a chemist and founder of Omega Ingredients, a company focused on the creation of the highest quality provenance-drove natural flavors and ingredients for the food and beverage industry. Man, that was a mouthful.
Erda Space is an amazing name, but I think it's fiction because I don't think space smells. I think it's a vacuum. Like so I don't know what smell they'd be mimicking.
It's the real deal.
Jesus.
I mean, NASA has been concerned about what space smells like for years, primarily to reduce the surprise to astronauts who go up for the first time. I imagine that being in that environment, that may be one of the last things on your mind. Like, damn, space smells.
I want to understand do they mean like what it smells like inside the International Space Station where like the astronauts and cosmonauts have to live? Or, yeah, I'm not really sure about that. Like, they surely don't mean like the vacuum of space smelling. They mean like the conditions that space travelers have to live in. And that can smell. I imagine if you're like dealing with recycled air and, you know, all that other stuff. So.
Or I wonder whether it's a combination of the two. We need some more insight on that one, but I think it's an interesting concept, definitely. I'll be intrigued and report back for our listeners on that one. Let's move on to the last one, Merodia. Our mission is to democratize the smells of the world. We use AI to generate odors related to cultures from around the world. Inspired by the Greek word for smell, we produce scents that transport you from the comfort of your home. Our ultimate mission is to help everyone feel represented through the power of scent.
I feel like I've been on a losing streak here. I got to figure this out. Oh, I feel compelled to go with fact. just because I've lost the last two mostly, but yeah.
It's fiction. It's not real.
Damn it.
It's not real.
Literally 1 for 4, which if I'm a baseball player, that's actually really good, but this is not baseball. So.
To be fair, the concepts were all pretty extreme and kind of idealistic, but this is not a real business. So although Merodia is not real, there was a business, which this was slightly based on, called Odoropa. And essentially what they do is they use AI to investigate the importance of scents and smelling and to discover how scents have molded our communities and traditions. And that was actually funded by the EU Horizon 2020 program. So they secured some funding as well a couple of years ago. But I can't help but bring up one of the points we made in our last topic conversation about the difference between actual smell technology and maybe like a glorified air freshener or candle. So I'll be interested to explore that a little bit further.
And it strikes me too, thank you for these are really interesting examples, even the fictional one, but there's a lot of work around research around smells. And so like a lot of these struck me as kind of, you know, research opportunities. But I guess an example, of Osmo and Konico, that they're like actually building a thing that's connected to smell. So like to your point earlier, like a balance of research and recognizing that smell is like probably one of the least, if not the least, I guess, valued senses in terms of tech, in terms of like how it's incorporated, or I should say it's like one of the least incorporated. So it's interesting to see it at this like very early stage. I'm trying to think of other examples of like, you know, tech subsectors that were like at an early stage years ago that have now taken, I mean, AI and machine learning could, you know, be an example that it's now obviously exploded, but years and years ago, it was very, very early days. So maybe we're seeing the birth of this new subsector right now. So,
you know, you're mentioning about the early days. I don't know if Web3 would be a good one to compare it to, perhaps where people are a little bit skeptical about it and the way that it's being spoken about is a little bit more, I don't want to say airy-fairy for want of a better word, just maybe more theoretical. I know with that description of Konoku, they use the word cyborg. When I hear that term, I think immediately, oh, this is something from a sci-fi film, or this is something that is not tangible or a reality. So I wonder if in the scent-based technology, we'll start to see better terms being developed, more technical terms being developed that could actually help with us actually starting to take it a little bit more seriously.
I think it's a good segue into our next topic, which is how to talk about scent-based technologies and this idea that like if a scent-based technology, if a digital smell tech, if a smell tech company approached us, you know, to help them grow their brand, grow their audience, where do we start? I think one of the first areas that I'd you know, to sort of answer that question, jump into would be just like audience education and kind of audience building, I would say, because it strikes me that like we're very early days in this subsector and that there's just not enough information out there about what's possible with smell tech and what smell tech even is. Some of the examples we talked about earlier, strong examples of really good human marketing applications. So make sure you have a storytelling element that talks about how smell tech has been used to help folks who have PTSD, for example, coming back from war, or how it could help the millions of people with Alzheimer's recall certain memories and things like that, and actually tell those stories, have video interviews, have audiograms, have really brand touch points where, you know, you're offering folks something. So yeah, I think that's like one interesting application. But yeah, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on that, Rebecca.
So essentially, I agree with you. And I think that there are two ways to look at it. It's obviously creating the marketing for the consumer or whoever will be buying into the product. But then there's a second side of it, which I think speaks to like VCs and investors. That's something that these smell tech startups need to be thinking about. And we've spoken about the tangibility of smell tech. We've spoken about, is this the real deal? And I think investors are going to be coming into it looking at it from that angle. So even with Konoku, which we mentioned earlier, and their premise of detecting disease via the measuring the air or reading the air, I think that's an interesting premise, because although it is smell tech, for me that is more like health tech, and it would speak to the VCs who are looking to fund health tech projects and interested in those kinds of missions as well. So I think identifying how the product is useful in society is a great way to start building that community, creating those branding strategies, and finding a way that it fits into society in a very real way, instead of, you know, this kind of sci-fi movie. I mean, there's nothing wrong with experiments. There's nothing wrong with sci-fi movies, but we are obviously thinking about how this can be applied to day-to-day. So from my perspective, I think that that's something to consider.
You raise a good point. Like, what's the balance of like whether something is one particular type of tech? If it's smell tech that has a health application, is that technically like digital health tech or something, or is it just health tech? We've talked in the past about how like in the future, all tech needs to be climate tech because it better have a sort of at least climate neutral or ideally like sort of climate positive application. So even if it is, you know, building tech or energy tech, for example, like those need to be considered climate tech to some extent. So how does smell tech factor into that? I think smell tech in the way that it's being framed right now is more of a, you know, almost wraparound tech that's like inserting itself into other types of tech like VR, like digital health tech, and yeah, potentially other sort of subsectors of tech. So I think that's really interesting. And yeah, I think that you had a good example of Ode Europa. Do you want to talk more about that?
I think Ode Europa is just really quite an interesting example here, just because I think they have a really cool approach to actually trying to get their product out there. I can see that they've used a number of different types of methods to actually put their product in front of their consumer or whoever they would deemed to be interested in what they've got going on. So they've got here, they do like guided smell tours in the Museum Ulm, a Malador workshop in Berlin, or Amsterdam City Sniffers Urban Tour. So we've got Ode Europa really using PR essentially to push their product and try to get in front of people as a tangible and real thing. Essentially what they do is they are appealing to people's personal relationship with smell. So I think all of those things are super fitting. I think it being an EU funded project as well, those things fit in really nicely as well. So I think that they've got a lot of interesting things going on. I struggle to see what would be coming next for them, but I think they've got a good foot in scent-based tech and kind of tying that back to appealing to people's personal natures.
Yeah, I see they've got this City Sniffers tour in Amsterdam, where I happen to be. So that's some immaculate timing right there. So, and I think that museum is like just down the road from my hotel. So I will go check it out and try to grab a little City Sniffers. I think it's just like a card that it's a rub and sniff card that you carry around, and they encourage you to have an open nose and your walking shoes, and you just kind of bounce around Amsterdam smelling different things, I guess, you know. But I think you arrive at certain destinations. The canals are an example. I don't think I've really smelled the canals quite yet, but maybe I haven't gotten close enough. I don't know. But I think that's interesting. They talk about this idea that we're constantly smelling, but we're not always actively aware of what we're inhaling and how that relates to like history, health, and the environment. So that is like just alone a really interesting application. The things that we smell are so related to like culture and place. Nothing else, like museums using this as an application, and the example of City Sniffers and the Amsterdam Museum. Guided tours. I love a good walking tour in a new city, for example. So I think that's really interesting. Food tours is another one. When you arrive in a new place, new city, I think that's one of the first things you notice is like how it smells different. Remember when I studied in Kenya and in university, I remember just like landing and like just being hit by the smell. And I think at least the part of Kenya that I was in, there was just like sort of a visceral, like earthy smell that I wasn't used to coming from North America, and just really appreciated that. And I think, yeah, like lifting that up a bit more, because I think, as we've said on this, you know, episode a couple times, like smell is just kind of an underappreciated sense that is so connected to how we emotionally respond to things, and it literally changes your emotions. So it sounds like there's loads of applications for it as well.
Definitely. I think it will be interesting to see how this develops and continues to go on. Ode Europa have an objective for the latter part of this year to essentially have a final conference and a smell fair, which is happening in Amsterdam in November. They'll be presenting an olfactory storytelling toolkit. So that will be interesting to see how it all pans out. They say they're using state-of-the-art AI as well, which is a little bit contrasting to what you've just said, Paul, because you said that they have a smell card. Is that correct?
Yeah, the Amsterdam Museum has this, yeah, City Sniffers. Well, there's an app, basically a smell tour of Amsterdam's eco-history. And yeah, it's just a project of their walking tour.
Nice. Well, I definitely think we should keep our listeners updated on scent-based technology going forward. I think there's a lot to be learnt in terms of how we could all benefit from different types of smell tech. But that's enough of the Smelly Tech Insight for today's episode. If you're listening in, we'd love to hear your thoughts on the smell tech industry, and you can head over to the episode description where you can actually complete the survey.
Yeah, thanks, folks. Please continue to support and share Tech Can't Save Us podcast with your network. We'd love to get those episode listens up. We still got some amazing episodes coming this October and through the rest of the year, so please be sure to hit the subscribe button to stay in the loop. And you're also able to subscribe to our monthly newsletter via our link at www.literalhumans.com. We provide information on funding opportunities, tech job openings, and loads of useful information about marketing in the tech space. And that's it for now. Bye, y'all. Hope you enjoyed Smell Tech, and may your nose treat you well this week.